From Noble Robot on East Hennepin Avenue in eclectic Minneapolis, this is Nice Games Club, the show where nice game devs talk games and game development.
I'm Lydia Simchich, and I make nice games.
I'm Steven McGregor, and I make nice games.
And I'm Mark LaCroix. I, too, make nice games. For this week's episode, it's another Nice Games Jam. We've just been given a prompt, and we're going to try to come up with a complete game that you can play by the end of the episode. Will it work? We and you are about to find out. And so, if everyone's ready, let's start. Joanna, back in the clubhouse.
Thank you.
Welcome back this week.
I had asked
to have you again.
I had asked if you wanted to be in the beginning to say that you made nice games, and you said I didn't want to commit. So
that about sums it up. Yep.
I would say longtime listeners would know that sometimes when we have a guest host, we will throw them into the intro.
Mm-hmm.
We're not super consistent about it.
That's true.
But you know, we like to ask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was very considerate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's get right into it. Dale has given us a prompt.
Okay.
What is it,
Dale? Let's find out. Design a puzzle game about loading passengers and or cargo into various spacecraft or other transport.
So, Joanna, when we asked if you wanted to be on a Nice Games Jam, you're like, make a game in a whole hour? I don't have the energy for that, because you thought we were doing all the engineering work.
I thought we were programming.
Right, right.
Live on a podcast.
No, we wouldn't dare. this is all we have. It's just the prompt, and it could be a video game, it can be a board game, it can be a design document, it could be anything. So our framework usually is just to kind of react for a little while.
Yep.
Right, Steven?
We're like, what? This is I don't know what this is.
And we hone in on something, and we like to try to start putting together a as small as possible core gameplay loop.
Yes.
By the mid of the episode.
With that, it makes me think of like a format where the people are just kind of walking around, and they're all like they're going to do the worst possible thing for you, the player, at any given moment, because they're all like, you know, like hurting, you know. It's just like, I've got to put you somewhere, but you're doing the thing that I don't want you to do, and you're gumming it up for everybody else, and there's a queue, and you don't respect it.
The thing I reacted most to in this was actually the cargo.
Okay. Part.
That seems more interesting to me.
Sure.
You would say that.
There is like a genre of that has started taking off of kind of like auto battlers that where the mechanic is fitting things into spaces in the same way that like inventory management and Resident Evil is geometry based.
Yeah.
I mean, putting shapes into, like, trying to fit as many weird things into a single shape is a very pleasing interaction. That's why it's useful in puzzles and in other like systems.
That is kind of where I was going with this, because there's the appeal of it being like different spacecraft as well. So you have like, you have this much cargo that has to be here by a certain time.
Mm-hmm. But,
so you can optimize by putting things together. And then you have these different ships that go to these different destinations.
Mm-hmm.
And then you decide, you're the sort of air traffic controller in a sense. That's maybe the wrong metaphor. But
yeah,
you are the one who decides how it all fits together to optimize, like getting the things where they're going as best they can.
Yeah.
And the sort of classic on-brand twist for me on this is that any single item or combination of things that could get you the best result will certainly make it so that other things will suffer. And so the actual best result is an average. And that sort of confounds the min-maxing that gamers tend to play. That's what appeals to me about this idea of a complicated arrangement is like there's a correct answer, but it's not like the maximal answer for all the different challenges.
Okay, so what? Mark came up with the Mark coded answer. I came up with the Steven coded answer.
Ooh, let's hear
what if it was like the Resident Evil inventory management thing, but competitive?
What if
that is a Steven coded answer.
The levels are scaffolded in size. So first, you've got to put babies into a stroller, and then you got to put a bunch of strollers into a car.
Not cargo anymore.
And then you got to put a bunch of cars into a boat. And you got a bunch of boats into a train.
Okay.
And then you got to put a bunch of train cars into an even bigger boat.
Bigger boat.
And you still have to think, they're all full of babies.
And then you got to put a bunch of
really
big
boats. So all the windows
boats.
Need to be rolled down all the way up to the big boat.
Right. And then you got to put a bunch of bigger boats onto spaceships, and then you go to space.
The windows in those have to be rolled up, though.
That's not adequate, and you know it. Yeah. You have to have the air conditioning on. You gotta pipe all the fumes out. No, but like, okay, so all this, so I don't have any grand ideas or anything. It sounds like there's some good ones here. But
oh, is there?
Not the babies. Not locking babies in vehicles.
We can put dogs in the strollers.
Also bad.
So in computer science, there's like, I think these problems belong to, a class of algorithms or whatever called like box fitting.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's considered like an NP hard problem or whatever, which means like you need, no supercomputer can like solve it perfectly. Oh. But there are like heuristics. Like if you have a bunch of things to fit into a volume, then generally it's a good idea to like always put the biggest things in first and fit the smaller things around it, and that kind of works. And if you're grocery shopping, that's like nearly optimal.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday I spent the first half of my day moving in a friend from one apartment to the other, and that is the thing. You put the big stuff in, you put the little stuff around the big stuff, you try to pack negative space as tightly as possible to get as much, maximize what you can fit in a car.
Yeah.
So is this like a grocery checkout game?
It could be that.
Maybe. I guess I was also latching onto the space part of it, but we don't need that at all if we don't.
Space
or other transport.
Yeah, it's
so we'll still. It's okay. We're not breaking Dale's rules.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it could be a shopping cart thing. And I think if we want to make this a tabletop game, then I think competitive is kind of the way to go.
That's kind of why I was thinking
tabletop
that
box fitting game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think would be
very tactile.
That's an appeal of it, right?
It's the
metaphor is very close to the actual activity, right? Because you are physically box fitting.
Yeah.
And the metaphor is that's what you're doing.
What if I'm silly today. What if you're trying true, what if you're trying to fit food and into a shuttle to then be brought into space? And I'm trying to think of how this could be, specifically this is going to get silly because I'm trying to figure out how this could be different than just, the briefcase squares situation.
Right.
What if you have to put it into a gel medium? You know how like when you put fruit in Jell-O and you jiggle it, it never moves? That is like...
It all makes sense so far.
Well, what is going on with you putting things in things?
It's pleasing.
Like 3-5 layers deep. Like.
What I was thinking is like, okay, with food, one of the things that's compelling about food is that it is weird shapes and it's delicate. Because like, even if, and sometimes those things are true, both of those are true, and sometimes it is well shaped or easily shaped, but it is very delicate. And that's why food is more interesting than like a packet pre-packaged thing or like cargo, because cargo is specifically put into packages that stack very easily.
Right.
Like that's why, if you ever need moving boxes, you find a factory that and ask someone who works there, like, hey, can I have boxes? Because they're all going to be the same size because they have to be fill things the most efficiently.
Yeah.
So then the question is like, okay, what if the stuff that we're packing is delicate and weirdly shaped? But then it's just a Suica puzzle. It's just one of those like, fill a volume and see how it falls.
Yeah.
But then also then what if the medium itself of packing, the space you're packing isn't geometric?
Yeah.
What if it's Jell-O? What if you need to fit as much Jell-O things into the Jell-O as possible so that way it can survive? Because that is how it's going to survive the takeoff process to get to space where it needs to go.
I think the problem I'm having with this is it's like self-justified. Like, I don't understand why anyone would do any of that. Like, other
Jell-O,
than
Mark.
Other than so that Lydia can put things on things.
Isn't that the whole point of this? Is you put stuff into stuff?
You do put stuff into stuff.
That is the thesis of Dale's statement.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think about like, okay, are we gonna?
How do we make it so it's not just a bunch of uniform boxes?
Yeah. How are you gonna make it so that way this isn't just Tetris?
I think that's in the it's in the premise or it's in the prompt, which is transport. So the it's not like one factory that makes a bunch of things and could optimize it before this process. It's luggage or it's products or things of all random shapes and sizes. I don't think we need to force that necessarily.
Okay, Lydia, would you be content with the objects you're putting in it being random sizes, or do you prefer the container to be random shape?
It's more just that trying to fit randomly shaped things into a space has kind of already been done. I was sure, just trying to explore. I think
no, that's fair.
I mean, I think it is interesting to have a mix of both.
Yeah.
Especially considering, like, if you, I mean, we could do anything with spaceships. They could be, we could even, they come in different shapes and sizes, even just within one universe of sci-fi. That solves half the problem.
Yeah.
I think part of it, though, is that, like, I don't know. I just wanted to see if we could do something a little bit differently than just it's differently shaped stuff on a grid.
Yeah, no, I think that's...
We're constrained a little bit if we want to do a tabletop game.
How does Jell-O work as a tabletop thing? Because I feel like there's got to be a way.
I riffed on the thing, not on tabletop.
Sorry, I'm still, okay, so that did give me an idea, though. Like, you could have, like, people could just draw the shape that you have to fit things within. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that could be part of it.
Okay, there's a... Okay, so there could be a... All right.
Wait, that makes it two-dimensional.
Sorry, I'm like going so fast in my head.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
If it's, it could be a team game,
mm-hmm.
like a two-on-two.
Yeah.
One is the sort of transport manager, and the other one is the packing manager.
Yeah.
And you have a small pad of paper that has like some kind of shape, and then the one team member allocates a certain amount of it for cargo by some method, either by spending points or whatever, and they draw with a pencil the outlines of it, and then the other person then has to deal with that.
Yeah.
That could be a co-op experience. Alternately, it could be a competitive thing where I'm trying to make it difficult for somebody, although I don't know how you would control that very well.
But
I like that idea. That is different.
Mm-hmm. We could mechanically, at least. Tangrams as an inspiration for shape making the spaces. Do you know tangrams?
No.
No.
Okay, Google it. So it's essentially
or you could tell us.
I'm saying so that way you have a visual for what I'm about to say.
Right.
A tangram is a very, very old puzzle where it is essentially a square divided into other geometric shapes. And when you separate those shapes, you can rearrange them into different pictures. So you can, like, with those shapes, you could make a heart or a duck or a running person.
Sure.
But also you could just make a square. They're very interesting other visual puzzle, but that would provide, if we wanted to follow along with, as far as, like, you have a certain amount of area allocated, but it could be a weird shape that is a self, like, the square area is set, but then, like, you can just rearrange the shape.
Okay.
Well, what appeals to me about Steven's idea of drawing is that it's imperfect.
Yeah.
True.
So, okay, I have an idea.
There will be wasted space.
I have a thought.
So it's a Steven and Mark coded idea.
Heck.
Our powers combined.
And we can fill it with Jell-O so that it's the whole thing.
You gotta come up with something, Jana.
I've got something.
Okay.
It just flashed right as we were talking just now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's probably terrible, but the idea
because this side of the table,
uh-huh.
I'm running stinkers on this side of the table. So.
You mentioned tanagrams, and I was like, oh, that reminds me of something. But I was like, I really want it to be like, you know, something 3D.
Mm-hmm.
Like something that like a little kid could enjoy. And I was like, okay, what if there's, you know, like you said, like a container that you're putting stuff in, but it's like a box basically. But imagine it's like a toy, like railroad car or something.
Mm.
And, maybe a toy like shipping container and like has a lid that goes on top.
Yeah.
And so the lid has to close and it has to snap on.
Okay.
And so everybody has a bunch of like it's a physical board game. Everybody has a bunch of junk and it's like you have a little miniature bicycle and an old fan and whatever. And you have all these different household things. And everybody has basically each person, you know, fits something in there going around the table. This is a very stupid, simple game. And then you get it to the point where, you know, the lid fits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And whomever the last person to try and put something in and it doesn't close, they lose. Yeah. They get out.
No, like, like you ship it out and then you have to do it again.
Yeah.
But then
that's
why?
As far as I got. I don't know.
Okay.
I like everything about this. I think it improves the sort of the tactile thing that excited us about a physical version.
I wasn't expecting that. I thought you were going to make this the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
But also, if you think of like a certain, for some reason, this is the example that's coming to me, is anyone play Upwards? It's Scrabble, but you put tiles on top of tiles.
Oh, I think.
To override letters.
Yeah.
I think I've heard of it. Yes.
Yeah. And it's not really related mechanically, but the stacking tiles with the interlock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like that all of our pieces could be like differently shaped in a two-dimensional sense, but they could have like Lego style.
Yeah.
Sort of like, so they can all attach in a, so you can stack them. And so you could physicalize a 3D version of this pretty well. Now, one of the things about our tabletop prototypes is that we have an unlimited manufacturing budget.
True.
So we don't have to worry about that part.
Yep.
Cool. We can maybe think about it, but we don't have to worry about it.
So I had a thought on a way we could go about doing this, but it is quite different from Gianna's.
And I don't like it.
Fair enough. but okay, so here's my thought. And it still goes in line with my drawing idea. Mm-hmm. So there's three parties. There's two people who are trying to fit things together into this container that is drawn. Mm-hmm. The third party is the person who draws the container.
Yeah.
And they have a hidden set of things that they want. And the most of a thing.
Corporate espionage.
Corporate espionage, sure. they want the most of such a combination of a certain amount of things. And so they're the ones who are designing the container for the other two people to fit stuff in. And so, like, you draw the container to try to optimize for what your idea is. It's like, maybe you need a bunch of, I'm looking at stuff, maybe you need a bunch of meeples, as many large meeples and cubes in this container as possible. Everybody else who's supposed to be filling it up doesn't know that. They just have to figure that out based off.
So it is a co-op experience.
It is a co-op experience.
You use that mechanic is the communication method.
Yes. Yeah. What you are drawing helps players understand that you're trying to get meeples or you're trying to get squares. You're trying to get something. You may be looking at all these pieces and being like, oh well, actually, this is a great shape for a disc because that's how you drew it as something. And why this is
different from Joanna's idea is that this would probably work best in 2D.
It would be best in 2D because you'd be drawing it every time.
What's to stop me from like making a container that's shaped meeples, like spelling it out?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I haven't figured out the whole.
I'm just kidding. No, it's a good idea.
That's a fair criticism. Yeah. That's why I was thinking it needs to be a few different shapes. Like it needs to be meeples and it needs to be circles.
Okay.
Put those together. I don't know.
You have multiple things you need.
Yes.
I have a question. I don't know if it'll have an answer, but maybe it will lead to thoughts.
Okay.
Are we going to constrain the length of the perimeter? Or are we going in terms of what you're allowed to draw? Or are we going to constrain the area in square units? Because that changes the game a little bit. I think, one, if it's a perimeter, we could provide them essentially a flex, like a string in a loop. That you make the shape on a board, but then in terms of like the shape of the interior area and how much area there is, that changes. Or if it is a set amount of square area,
then you could do that on a pad of paper.
You can do that on a pad of paper. Your perimeter could be very, very big. It could be very, very small because you'd have like essentially, flexible coastline.
Yeah, I think the sort of string prop kind of thing, I don't think that's physically practical, even with our unlimited.
This would probably work great as a video game.
It would work. That would work really well as a video game.
Yeah, in terms of like that, though, what I imagine is that you would have a board with shallow grid grooves, and you'd have something like a string that you could press into the groove.
Oh, sure.
And essentially, like, we'd have a grid and diagonals, and then you could just, like, move it along within that.
You could also do that on a pad of paper and just count how many lines you draw.
That's true. I don't know. I was just thinking for tactileness, but also because
wanted to preserve the sort of flexibility, free flowing. Yeah, I understand.
But also in a way that like a spoil sport wouldn't have as much reason to point and say like you did it wrong. You drew it sure. funny in a way that gave him an advantage or gave me a disadvantage.
So I think it's important that the shapes are the same, which makes it difficult because like somebody has to draw something twice, it's not going to be the same. Mm-hmm. So we have technology where you could draw a thing, and under that is the same thing. So we could just do that, give people that kind of stuff.
Like talking about carbon paper?
Yeah, that.
Interesting.
I don't know. We could ship that with it. This is all fictional.
Refillables are paying them.
Okay, so I'm trying to think of why would you not just have the maximum amount of space? And you're saying is to communicate what to do.
The reason why you don't want to have the maximum space is because people will just fill it with anything, and you only get scored based off of how many meeples.
But that language is so, your vocabulary is so limited.
Yeah.
You can just, it's just smaller and maybe longer or narrower. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know that would be a fully satisfying communication method.
Okay.
But I want to find a way to get us there.
Okay.
And so the only thing I think of that might get us close, and I still don't think this is quite good enough, is that you have like a container and you're not necessarily drawing the outline, you're dividing sections. Mm-hmm. So this is the freezer compartment. This is the you know, the humidifier, this is the dry, you know what I mean? So that different types of goods.
Sure.
You know, that would be a way to communicate. But then there's presumably some optimized way, or there's a solved way of that, essentially. Like,
yeah.
I need three of this, four of this. I will just draw enough space for three of this and four of that.
Yeah.
So that's why it's not quite good enough. But that might be a direction we could go to. And you could also say, like, this shipment has none of this different type.
Yeah.
So you could, so that the game could ship with colored pencils where you fill in different parts of the container with different things.
Am I right in thinking that we were searching for a economics of space and other thing as the goals? Because your idea, Stephen, is like you want to fit as much of a thing into a space as possible. And the other side is almost codename style, where it's like you're trying to convey somehow what the what you want to go into this shipment.
Yeah. The reason why you want to, like, I guess like I was saying to Mark, the reason why you want to make different shapes is because you have to add a multiple of things. It's not just meeples. It needs to be meeples and round things and just cube or whatever.
Okay.
So my thinking is, in order to communicate that, you have to draw your shape in a certain way that, like, signifies meeple, but also round thing, but also dice.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not compelling and not descriptive enough.
The solution is a compelling experience. I don't think we have the tools to get there.
Yes.
So most games that are like built around miscommunication, where you can't communicate directly, like the point of those games is humor, right? Not box fitting.
That is a fun side consequence, but I think there's a lot of satisfaction in people being like, yes, you understood what I meant.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of satisfaction.
Okay. Yeah. No, that makes sense. I mean,
Pictionary is maybe the example.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Like, you're using some other way to communicate. Now, that is actually that's a fairly high level.
Yeah.
Pictionary, you know. Charades, code names.
Right.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things. Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. I think I have, it's a little, I'm still trying to make the 3D thing work because I like the idea.
I really like 3D idea too. It's just hard to do it when you're drawing a shape.
Yeah. So, all right. This is a three-player game.
Yep.
We have one player that's defining the parameters of the container, however that is done.
Yep.
Right? Either that's drawing a thing or shaping a physical box or doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other two players are competitors.
Yeah.
And they take turns loading items.
Oh.
Because this way, it doesn't solve the first part that we've been talking about up to now. But what it does do is it provides an opportunity for one player to have, like, well, I am trying to get all these tomatoes to Alpha Centauri.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to put things in a way, but also I'm going to put this over here because this person over here that's trying to ship, like, computer cores, it's going to make it harder for them to fit as many in here.
Yeah.
And so then you go back and forth, and then then you have this ultimately unoptimized, it's not good for anybody.
Yeah.
And that's maybe the point.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, you know, you could work together and maximize both of your scores, but you're not going to beat the other player, or you might have to accept a 1 point loss to get more points, because maybe every round you have a different goal, and so it's played over multiple rounds.
Well, every round the person who's making the container would have a different goal.
Oh, it could also rotate.
Yeah,
you know,
or it could be like in Wingspan, when you have your secret goals.
Right, yeah.
So you have a secret goal of you get points for like every raw ingredient or raw food that makes it onto the ship safely.
Yeah.
You have a point for pairs of like tech and something that gets onto the ship.
Yeah.
And so then the idea being like you're fighting over for space, but also the other person knows what they're fighting space over for, not necessarily what the other person is, but maybe you could tell, but it's not going to be as easy.
I don't want to make it too complicated. I like the person defining this container. I like them having a secret goal. That's fun. But I think the competitors should know what the other one's going for, because it gives them better, more clear sabotage.
I think it could work with the secret goal too for the competitors as well. Makes it a little less.
I think the shape, specific. Like, instead of making somebody draw it or build it,
uh-huh.
You just make it random, like with a card.
Yeah, that could work too.
I mean, that would work. Yeah,
tangrams.
I mean, it kind of. I mean, it mechanically keeps the idea, but it drops, I think, what was fun about the drawing idea.
It's the method of communication.
Okay, but wait.
Then it can be a two-player game.
Idea though, what if you what if it's you build a ship, and so you pick one cockpit, one cargo bay, and two thrusters, and one bonus room. And so each of those, you have to have a ship with the same amount of pieces, but the ship pieces are shaped differently and sized differently.
Okay.
And so that's how you build the space, is like you, so then like a single ship unit is made of X number ship parts, but what those parts are, how those parts are oriented or shaped or connected in, are different every time.
I was kind of thinking in that direction because you were talking about it being turn-based. Mm-hmm. Then I was like, maybe the person who's building the container also builds it within turns. So like you start with like maybe not the cockpit, I guess, but like the container,
cargo bay.
Thank you. Maybe you start with the cargo bay, and you, I don't know if you have to draw it, I don't know how you build it, but like you put that in, and that communicates to the players, not much but a little bit, and so like you pick something based off of that information, and then you keep adding stuff to this ship so that players are like, oh, it needs a freezer, well I guess I should probably put in, you probably need like something that could be perishable, so maybe we should throw in tomatoes, space tomatoes, or whatever.
So that that gives all the players the ability to react to the other players.
That gives all the players the ability to react to their players, and the third player is the one giving those kinds of things.
And the third player is essentially, they get points based on some like mission parameter or something. So you need to have fast enough engines. If someone puts in some perishables, that they're motivated to put in a freezer unit, so that this doesn't spoil, and then they get their commission.
Yeah, well, I was thinking
they're the freighter captain.
Yeah. I was thinking of it in terms of the third player is the one building the thing, and then the other two players are adding stuff inside it as the cargo.
What I mean is that the players then, by adding certain things to the cargo, can essentially communicate to the freighter captain what to do.
Oh, yeah.
And how to build it.
I suppose.
But also force them to build it in a certain way.
Yes.
So that it can be some tension there.
Potentially, yeah.
And the freighter captain could be like, well, my mission card says I need to get there as fast as possible.
Yeah.
So actually what I want to do is I want to get really expensive, lightweight stuff in four turns and then get out on the open road.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first thing someone does is put in like a whole pallet of lumber or something. And then you're like, okay, all right, well, that's still going to work okay, but now I'm forced to deal with that reality, and how can I still kind of keep my goal alive?
Mm-hmm.
And how can I'm going to build something, now I'm going to make small cargo containers so they can't do that next turn.
Yeah.
You know, so that they have to, you know, or whatever. And this is kind of why I want everyone's goal to be open. I kind of want there to be, like, open conflict.
Okay.
And also, I don't want there to be a lot of, I don't like the idea of, like, I mean, this is good in other games, but in this, I don't want to be bamboozled by not having figured out what someone else is doing.
Okay.
Because then you can get railroad, you can run over pretty quick.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
And I like the idea of just being like, oh, like, I know what you're up to, and everyone knows what everyone's up to.
Yeah, okay. That's fair.
It becomes a little bit more chess-like in that way.
Sure. Before we continue with this concept, does it make sense to, like, build the ship over time?
There's some things unanswered about that, but I do like it.
Okay.
Thematically, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
But like, you know, it's like there's the metaphor of like laying the tracks as you ride the rail.
Mm-hmm.
We can put that into the story of this thing.
I guess in my
modular delivery service.
My kind of tacit headcanon in terms of trying to figure out how the goals of each player is tied to their actions on their turn is like, we have alien customer who has a desire and can't speak whatever language the two competitors speak. And so it's like, okay, if your goal is essentially to say like get these types of things in that pair together because like you want to do this thing, then you start with one thing to try and imply like, hey, I need to get here. And then competitor one is like, oh, okay, I'm going to add this thing. And then competitor two is like, I'm going to add this thing. And then the alien is like, okay, well, this is not exactly what I wanted, but let me add a freezer, a section which has a freezer to try and nudge you towards what I want.
Right.
And then competitor one's like, oh, I think I'm picking up what alien is putting down. I'm going to put in ice cream. And then a competitor two's like, okay, no, well, maybe it's this industrial thing that needs to be frozen. And that there's that dialogue. Like, I'm almost imagining, like, the person who's building the ship and getting it filled has a need.
Yeah.
And the two other players are competing to fill that, what they are attempting to perceive as the need.
But, like, this is a little bit like Clue now, where there's an envelope thing in it that nobody knows.
I'm not implying anything is good. I'm just, that's how I'm imagining it, kind of the interplay between goal and attempt.
That's effectively what I was imagining too.
Okay.
So, cool. I mean, I guess that is more clue than I realized.
I mean, the narrative framework that could work for this, that like that would make sense for a communication to be constrained, mm-hmm. is your smugglers.
Right?
Smuggler. And your job ostensibly is to load this thing full of radishes, but like we got some Rolexes we need to ship.
Like, yeah.
Carve out each radish. Insert Rolex.
A thing and a thing. Of course.
We did it. We're back.
I mean, this is where like it. Okay, wait, smugglers. You have hidden compartments in the ship. That could be the thing that is, that it could be part of what is difficult. What where it's like you have open area that is easier to fill because it's a more reasonable shape, but that is easy, that could get searched. But then in the same ship, you have weird shaped nooks and crannies that are safe to put contraband, but are smaller and a lot harder to fit things. Like you, that is like you have nooks and crannies. And not everything that's contraband is going to fit nicely in those nooks and crannies. Mm-hmm. But then you have nice open space that is going to be easily seen, but is easily packed.
Oh, so the secret compartments, like you could put stuff in, but the other people wouldn't know that you put that
well,
in.
Well, no, I'm trying, just opening up as like a if we're fitting things into a, if we're fitting things into a ship with different shape and, and these things have different shapes, kind of what's the problem and what's the balance? The balance would be like, you want to fit as much contraband as possible, but it, the space is less forgiving versus you don't want to have as much, like the space that is going, that is easily seen and searchable is more forgiving, but that's also not as profitable.
So this actually brings back the drawing. So,
okay.
And it makes secret goals make more sense.
We need a notebook.
So
does anyone have a notebook?
I think we're halfway, we're halfway through the episode now. Okay. I think we need to design the smallest version of this that we can.
I have a tablet.
I'm going to lay out what, how I think this was, this will work.
Okay.
And then we'll start from there and you guys make changes, before we, commit to our first thing.
And I will take notes.
All right. So the ship is a pad of paper with an outline of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
That is, that is, this is about, you know, a legal pad size and it's the same ship every time.
Yeah. Okay.
The cargo hold, or rather the interior, is completely blank. What you're drawing is the interior spaces.
Okay.
And so on each turn, the freighter captain essentially adds a module or draws in a module of some kind. This could be done with cards and pieces, but I kind of like the idea of it being drawn, and it would be on a grid in this sense. And they could, so examples would be a like a false wall. So just an existing wall that's just a little bit further out. So something can go by there, probably like a big painting, but not a, you know, something larger.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Or something under the floorboards, or like, or just a room of a sign, or a freezer compartment or something like that. So the legitimate things and illegitimate things. Every turn they would do something. And then the other players, who each are smuggling a certain thing that no one else knows about, they are, but they also have a job to load legitimate cargo. They can like load one object maybe, or move one object. So if something's in the thing, they can move it to another thing. And like they'd be tokens, but like contraband would be basically be that you'd have a, basically a little bowl full of stuff. So you don't really know what's available. The players know what they can draw from, right? They can draw from the assignment or their particular style of thing that they can do.
Yeah.
Or rather, they can draw from anything because maybe they're also trying not to reveal what the other player, they don't want the other player to know what they're smuggling. They're competing in a sense.
Okay.
And so it goes round and round, and you just fill things up, and every turn the ship gets more defined. You can't put anything into a space unless it's defined in some capacity, perhaps. So you can't just throw it into the empty space. It needs to be in a room, I don't know, whatever.
Okay.
And then you do that until it's full, or a certain number of turns have passed, perhaps. Maybe every round is a has mission parameters. Like we have to leave in five turns, or something, or like, oh, we can't go above a certain amount of weight. So every object would have a shape, a property, and a weight.
Yeah, okay.
Perhaps. I don't know. And then at the end, once you've packed it all up, and then you go off, and then you'd some evaluation system, whether the overall mission is a success, which would determine whether you all get caught or not. And that would probably be, I think, the only failure state is whether you get caught. I don't think we need to have like more complicated
success or failure states.
And then see who you know, got their own secret goal bested.
Okay.
And the freighter captain could also have a secret goal where they're doing things to encourage certain types of smuggled objects, right. Perhaps. Does that sound, it's not yeah. all the details, but like starting from there seems...
That sounds pretty similar to what I was...
Now, that can still be 3D, right? We can still have things stacked on each other, mm-hmm. right? Like, we can still work with that.
The only thing I would, I take umbrage with this is weight. I would rather have heavy things be rendered in a way that takes up more volume.
They could just yeah. be larger.
But
just abstract, so it's a simpler, mm-hmm. yeah, that
and I,
yeah.
I like the idea, though, of qualities, because if we have stacking, for instance, we could have something that is large, but breakable. Or things yeah. that are breakable can't have things stacked on top of the other.
And there could be instance. Maybe the fun variety of this game, and our prototype will have maybe three types of objects or five types of objects, but the game could ship with like many types of objects, and each could have a little reference card or something.
Yeah.
That, and then once one is in the ship, you put the reference card out or something.
Oh, yeah.
So you know what it can handle, what its rules are.
And what it's worth.
Can I...
It needs to be separated from other items. It needs to be refrigerated. It can only be stacked three high.
Whatever. Yeah.
I just want to throw out one thing also of like, if you're taking your turn, if you're moving another, something that's already in there, could it be kind of warehouse manager game style where you have to slide it?
Oh, sure.
So, because then you could block yeah. someone from being able to slide something to a new spot because of how you've placed something. So if then you're committing two turns.
There's a little war of attrition to that, but okay. I like it. Yeah.
Just wanted to throw that out as sure. a thing that maybe could be used at some point.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
I have a thing we can draw with.
Cool.
Joanna, have you played GLOMP before?
No, I have not.
Okay. Are you interested in a game where you get to rewrite phrases according to a rule, and then you get scored based off of that rule?
Wouldn't it be amazing if Joanna was like, no, I'm not interested in
Don't do that.
I don't know enough about it, but okay, tell me fair. More.
Well, it's a very short game. You can play it in 3 minutes because it literally takes you 3 minutes to play. And there's a bunch of different phrases, like common phrases like dog ate my homework or something like that. And you have to rewrite that phrase using a rule. And that rule can be you're not allowed to use any E's or...
every word longer than three letters has to rhyme.
Or, yeah, something like that.
Some rhetorical right. oddity.
And you can't use any of the words in the phrase to rewrite this word. Or to rewrite this phrase.
So challenge enough, yes. but there's a reason you want to try hard.
There's also a goal card, and that's how you get scored. And the way that you could get scored, it could be most words with three or more syllables, or most letters, things like that.
Pulling cards from the phrase, rule, and goal deck,
yes.
there are up to 40,000 different games you could play.
Yeah.
And Joanne, have you played sort of word games where people judge answers and whoever has the funniest gets a point?
Like apples.
That kind
apples.
Of apples, apples
oh,
that
yeah.
kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
This is like that, but the scoring is objective. There's no playing favorites. There's no funniest wins.
Yeah.
There's lots of funny.
There is funny.
But there's, and that's, you know, that does that sound like a refreshing take on the genre?
It does.
Yeah.
Because everybody always has bad taste. That's just me saying I always lose at those. Because I have a stupid sense of humor.
I mean, same.
Yeah.
So, Joanna, you can go to nicegames.club/glom and you can check out the game.
Wow, amazing. I feel like I should do the thing they do in like 90s commercials.
Once again, that's nicegames.club/glom.
Hey, Mark, do you have any favorite moments from the first season of Nevermind the Music?
Yeah, remember that episode where I secretly converted you to loving all my favorite songs?
No.
Well, then it's working, Nicole.
It's season 2 of the Nevermind the Music podcast.
Because the sequel is always better than the original.
And the second album is always better than the... Uh-oh.
One of us knows music.
And the other knows psychology.
Each week we dive deep into one song.
From Oasis to Alanis.
And maybe sometimes some things that aren't from the 90s.
Nevermind the Music, season 2.
Listen, wherever you get your...
Sophomore slumps?
Joanna, does this sound like any fun at all?
Okay. Okay, so I'm trying to visualize all this.
Yeah.
That's why we have the visual aid, hopefully.
We're working on a drawing, yeah.
Someone else take this. That's a lot.
Oh, to draw?
Well, just like to start walking us through this thing. Let's what does this look like? How do we
You don't want me to draw, but fine. Okay.
So step one is someone draws out the space.
Well, we have a ship. We have a ship.
We have a ship. Is this...
Oh my gosh, my hand doesn't even move straight. Okay.
Listener, he's reaching across the table over his laptop to draw onto Lydia's laptop, and I don't know why.
I just wanted someone who knew what we're doing to take the pen and start drawing.
Okay,
we have a shape.
We have an outline on our canvas here that is essentially the perimeters of the ship itself.
Yep.
It kind of looks like Utah.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to say it.
I'm a programmer, okay? Yeah. Is that better? Does that help?
Yeah.
Does that help you, Joanna?
Well, we need to do something with this.
It's just a shape.
The shape,
yeah, what am I saying?
Utah?
Okay. Utah. So then we have a shape now. What do we do? What's the next step you said?
Okay. So I guess the freighter captain would go first, I suppose.
Yes.
They would create, they would do something inside some condition. They would either draw an interior wall or add a subunit, like a freezer unit or something.
Right.
I guess this would have to be like, there. It would have to be drawn from a limited list of actions.
Yes.
Right? You can either draw an interior wall, you can add a door, you can add a fully contained compartment of this size or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't offhand know what a good mix of those things would be.
I think you need tiles.
Yeah?
Yeah.
To make it fully gridded.
Because it's too hard to draw if you have that kind of constraint.
Yeah, I think it should look like graph paper.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
You need tiles. Yeah, yeah. I would think. Yeah.
But I would think the tiles would be smallish, not like 1 inch.
Sure. Oh, we don't have tiles. So
yeah.
We'll just go with my crude drawing.
We'll just pretend it's like 15 by 15 or something.
Sure.
Like that.
Okay.
Something like that. So you could be a little expressive, but not like chaos.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, I have a lot of questions.
Okay. Because there is another way of doing this, which is just to abandon the drawing entirely and have like a deck of shaped rooms and compartments.
Kind of Carcassonne style.
Yeah. That could be a way to do it. This seems less fun to me, but that would be maybe more clear.
Maybe other people are better at playing games, but I'm having a hard time imagining a world where people are able to draw and follow all the rules without it being oppressive.
That's why I was struggling with, there needs to be a limited number of things that the freighter captain can do.
Yeah.
So that they don't have to be like, what do I do?
And the best way to communicate that is just having tiles. Like, join us.
Yeah.
Things you lay down.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like the tiles themselves, like they can be of varying shapes. They can be a side, or they could be like literally a space you could put stuff in. It could be a freezer, in which case it doesn't have any space, but like you have other space to put stuff in. You know, there's a bunch of different ways we can go about it if they're tiles.
Yeah.
And we can control the design of that,
but
which is better.
To reiterate, yes. We want the person who is the freight captain has an outline that they are filling with rooms.
Yes.
And then everyone else is filling the rooms with stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I do, yeah, I think that rooms need to be the tiles in themselves.
Yeah.
Then.
Yep.
Okay.
Rooms can be tiles too, yeah.
So let's say...
So like, then we don't need an overall thing. It could just be an empty table. And the first thing you could lay down is cargo bay, cockpit, engine.
Well, that was why I was asking, like, is part of the struggle for the person laying things down trying to fit the rooms within a space?
And not only if they were drawing them. I think if they're just shapes you lay down, there's no reason to have a border around a Utah-shaped thing.
Okay.
That's an extra constraint that serves no mechanical function.
Okay.
Well, I was just wondering if it served the function of everybody has the same struggle but kind of put in different spaces, or everyone is all trying to fit stuff into space.
I suppose there's the size of the garage.
Yeah, there should be a size.
So the engines and everything outside the ship also. Has
so I think
the hangar bay.
I think there is a defined space in which you can lay the tiles.
In our purposes, it's just the size of your tablet here.
Yeah, your play space cannot be the size of Utah. It needs to be
the game board.
But if I want to put in a fridge,
yes.
No matter what, I can add a fridge. It's not that like, oh, I want to put a fridge, but I don't have the right size and shaped room to fit in my ship.
So
no, you still need to be able to.
So you can solve this problem without having to have an arbitrary border if you make the tiles not any one single shape, and then they can only naturally fit with certain other things like puzzle pieces.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So like, you can
build it any size.
You can have a cargo bay that has like ports on the side to attach other rooms and other things.
And like, a fridge can only attach next to a cargo bay and stuff like that.
Or there's certain things can only be placed on top, like layered inside of an empty space.
Because I'm trying to figure out what the constraint for adding stuff to the ship is.
Okay.
If it was filling in, if you have the ship interior and you're trying to fit rooms shape wise into the interior, that's one thing. If it's ports and like. Certain ports have to attach to other certain ports. That's another thing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we're doing ports and like road has to hit touch road, water has to hit water, you know, electricity has to hit electricity, that gives a constraint for the person building the ship.
Yes.
So that means they also are on the struggle bus.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So let's say a person, so we have nothing right now.
A lot of this is starting to get close to Robustin territory.
It is a little Robustin-y, but that's okay.
It's okay.
We have nothing right now. Let's add a room, shall we? What sort of thing do we add to our ship first?
Well, you could add anything. We need the smart play would be to add a cargo bay.
The player needs to... The player who's doing the... Well, you should probably add a cargo bay. But I also think that the player who is the... What did you call it? Freighter captain?
Freighter captain.
Freighter captain. They have their own individual goal. Lydia, do you want to be the freighter captain?
Sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Come up with... a space thing to put in the ship.
Do I...
It should be secret, but like we're on air.
What sort of...
This is what specific. You're going to invent the rules of the game without us knowing about it right now. That's, that's how...
And that's not fair.
No, that's how we do this.
Oh, that's how we do it. Oh,
is that for any unanswered question, we just invent it as we go.
Okay.
And then it is what it is and we just change it as we need to.
I guess...
Okay. We got these shapes.
We have quality, so we have stuff. We have qualities for the stuff and the sizes of the stuff.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So while you think about that, can somebody re-explain to me what the goal is exactly and why everybody can't put rooms down?
So the freighter captain is the one who assembles and outfits their ship, right? Okay. The other two are the smugglers who are stationed at in the hangar bay, who they stay there.
Yeah.
Right. The freighter captain takes the ship and leaves. Mm-hmm. So that defines the roles. And I guess this doesn't have to be a 3-player game. It could be a 5-player game. It could be a 2-player game.
Yeah, sure.
I suppose. Mm-hmm. But 3 seems to make a lot of sense just for now.
Okay.
The goals would be, we have not defined them yet. They're hanging in the air a little bit.
Yeah.
I think broadly, if this is like a competitive kind of game, broadly, everyone wants the shipment to happen without anyone getting caught.
Yes.
Everyone's in on the smuggling operation.
Yes.
The way you would do that is by essentially shipping enough of the normal stuff to pass inspection or to satisfy the client you're delivering to.
This is I realize that the freighter captain knows how they make
an order system where you have to fulfill an order.
It could be that there's a deck of cards that each of them, every time you play, you have the legit mission is.
The freighter captain maybe is the person who knows what will get them detected.
And the only one who knows,
perhaps, and maybe that's why they're building. That's how they're building the ship to fall in lines with those details. I don't understand
how building the ship affects what can go in.
Yeah,
it.
That's
so
kind
if
of...
it like this is well, this is what Lydia's idea of like a certain secret compartment is the right size for certain kinds of contraband.
Yeah,
but as the freighter captain, I don't know what contraband my other two players want to ship, so I have to make some guesses. And then they will start adding things to the ship that communicates to me. That's the all at the same time quality.
Yeah.
So, but this happens on a public board, right?
Yes.
And so if somebody puts something on the ship, you can kind of see it, right?
Yeah. The question is like, what is secret? If the different types of physical objects, does this object always represent this thing or does it only represent a category of thing? And the freighter cat doesn't know for certain.
Yeah.
I think this is something we need to just see, try and fail at.
Yep. So yeah, this is we'll prototype a version that doesn't work. That's the thing.
We
just to see if the play works at all, independent of all of the big goals of the thing.
Yeah.
I've made a keel. It's very stable.
Uh-huh. Okay, got it. I'll go next. I'm just going to put what I have in there, actually.
Yeah, so the things you would be, the information you would have now would be, do you know what the legit mission is?
Yeah.
And you would know what you're trying to... Yeah, I think you would, because the smugglers are also the ones who have to load legit material, right?
Yeah.
So this might be a place for again, also a boring choice.
Yeah. Right. Well, I know what I have, so yeah. I'm going to put this in there.
Okay.
What is it?
It is a.
It's a palette of four stacked mannequins.
The meeple?
The meeple.
Yes.
We don't need to be. Let's try to eliminate as many metaphors as possible.
Yeah. Okay. It's a palette.
You're shipping meeples.
Shipping meeples.
Yeah.
That's me. I put my thing in.
Okay.
Okay. So, Mark.
So at this point,
Wait, but why did you put that in?
Because I get scored based off of that. I think
he's loading the ship with crate with cargo.
No, yes. But the key is we don't
is
actually.
Are the meeples contraband?
No.
Yes.
No. What?
Maybe.
That they were.
No. The key here is we don't know the answer to these questions yet. Like, this is not a complete game.
Yeah.
We're just trying to see how we're the physicality works. So far, everything is like boring.
Yes.
But that's fine.
You put something into this ship.
Okay, so I would say like I would imagine, let's say that we are shipping mannequins. That this is legit cargo.
Okay.
I would be like, all right, well, Steven added some legit cargo. We need a certain amount of them. I'm free to make a smuggler move.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Right? So I'm doing this like, you know, this giant pallet of spice or whatever.
Oh, okay. Now right? I'm understanding. Yeah. Okay.
So I'm going to place it, and I'm going to put it in the corner here.
Okay.
And maybe the idea is that I'm sort of trying to communicate to Lydia exactly what she just did, which is to build a false wall around it to hide it.
Got it. Okay. Is that what you're doing on your turn?
Also, even this is still pretty boring.
Sure.
And there's not a lot of play here, but
Trying to figure it out.
Yeah. So Lydia built the wall around it.
Okay.
Now maybe Lydia doesn't know whether this is a legit cargo or smuggler cargo.
Sure.
But she's making the guess that I would have put it in the corner, like so that she would ensconce it.
And my goal is to smuggle things.
Yes, we're all on the same team. Yes. We just got to keep quiet because they're always listening.
Right.
Okay.
That makes sense.
So what we've kind of established is a sort of a narrative for the authorities, which is like, you're loading the legit cargo and I'm the one sneaking around. Yeah. Now, that might be what I think, but you might not know that's what I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
Right?
Again,
mechanically, it doesn't really hold up yet.
Yeah.
But like if we establish what our motivations might be, then we can find ways to mechanically make that make sense.
So Lydia, what are you adding to this?
I've built a small padded room kind of. Diagonal to the spices.
Oh, okay. So we could fit, if it's a padded room, then theoretically we could add like valuable but fragile cargo in there.
Yes. One. I mean, I'm not allowed to withhold to say or not.
Yeah, we don't know why she did that.
Okay, that's true.
I've added a padded room.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. To the interior.
So I'm gonna put a cop in there.
Wait, what?
Oh no! It's the fuzz.
It's a blue meeple. He's now in the padded room.
Oh no! Oh, oh no!
You know what's actually okay? I kind of like this. I know you're just playing Chaos Agent, but that's nice.
Yeah.
So you can justify yourself in a minute.
But I don't know the rules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine. That's the act of discovery. So perhaps the mission card we drew, perhaps, is that it's including an escort.
Okay, yeah.
And you built them some quarters.
Uh-huh.
But it has a lock on it. Right?
Sure, yeah.
And you've assigned them to those quarters.
Oh no, perhaps. I was thinking that I would put the cop in there so that you couldn't put the contraband near it.
Yeah.
Right, you're trying to bust us.
Yeah.
Right.
Make it harder to get the contraband on board. Mm.
Right. So implies perhaps maybe there is somebody who is playing against the rest of the
game.
I kind of like, it's shaping up to be a little bit like it's a hit and roll game where one person is just legit trying to do their job. One person is a smuggler. One person
really
is trying
like
to bust the whole ring.
And no one knows what anybody else is.
And
we know the freighter captain is the freighter captain is the only person.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you also don't necessarily, but I'm also trying to get the right stuff on the ship.
Yeah.
Whatever
that is. Yeah. Or are you trying to maximize like money where everything has a monetary value?
No, I don't want to add.
The freighter captain has two goals.
I don't like numbers.
Okay.
I don't want to add numbers.
Idea.
The freighter captain wants to not get caught.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But they're also not really, they're like dragooned into the smuggling operation.
Sure.
They're trying to get the main mission complete.
Yeah.
The smuggler or smugglers, maybe there's multiple, doesn't care about the legit mission. And so they will do things in contravance of that working out.
Yeah.
They're just trying to get their smuggled cargo in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The dock authority or whoever is they're undercover
mm-hmm.
and they're trying to decide, they're trying to figure out which of the, I mean, it's werewolf at this point, right?
Yeah.
Who is the smugglers?
Yeah.
And the freighter captain essentially is sort of never really at risk of being discovered, but like they're like, all right, well, I'll let the smuggling happen, but I'm not going to aid it, I suppose.
Sure.
Yeah, I have I think there's a goal that I think for me, it's a goal where it's more attached to the size or quality of the items smuggled, or items put on the ship, whether they are contraband or not.
Yes.
Because like I could imagine, so like I have a goal for myself, I won't say. And it could end up being fulfilled by either of you two, the honest and the not honest one. But how that will shape up, we'll find out. Maybe.
That might be one too many secret
things. But we're going to see. Let's see.
Let's give it a shot.
What we've determined so far is that this feel of like taking turns placing things, the cooperation, there's just too many demands on it. It makes way more sense for Joanna to say we should be opposed to each other.
Is that what I was saying?
I mean, that's kind of what we've discovered from it, I think, is it makes much more sense as a sort of hidden roles.
Well, okay, but also that we need to have a very simple goal. Each person has to have like one line.
Right. But, but because, for sure, because it's hidden roles, you are often, you know, it's encouraged for you to play act the sort of normal dockhand role.
Yeah.
Right. And not tip your
right because you don't know whoever is hidden.
Yeah.
So the point I'm hearing is that we don't want to know what contraband is. So you're placing physical items on the board, but we don't want to know if they're contraband or not until the end of the game.
Right. That is still an unanswered question. Like how would anyone, the inspector in particular, know what is the mechanics of them discovering that?
Well, your items are a certain color, so maybe like you have a card that says like, oh, you're the contraband person or something.
Oh, I see. So like everyone has their own color coded things that they load, so you can see who loaded what.
Oh,
so basically everything you load is contraband, essentially. You're the contraband player.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Oh,
but we don't know you're the contraband person till the end of the game, except maybe the freighter captain knows because.
Oh, actually, that would be kind of nice if the freighter captain knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because their job is to get money. They don't care what you load.
Right. Like, they got to keep in business, so they need to know what's going on. But, like,
and then
they have plausible deniability.
If I'm the person playing against the contraband person, then my job is to move my little cop around and try and guess who I think it is based on who's acting suspicious.
Actually, that makes it... I think the freighter captain should actually not know who anybody is, because that way the inspector can kind of act a little shady and get the trust of the freighter. You know what I mean? Like, the... No one knows what anybody is. It's just the freighter captain is the only one. And the freighter captain is the only one whose role everyone knows and is also the only one not interested in what everybody else is.
Should we start over then?
Sure.
Yeah, we can start over.
I guess then, just to reiterate, what is my goal? Is my goal to just not get caught? Or is
you have a legitimate shipping mission.
Okay.
You're the only one who's really playing the game. Although presumably one of us is also just a normal dock worker also trying to win.
Can we say that we start with just like... You have a ship hole. Like,
it's just a box for now. Yeah, it'll be what it is.
It always starts with a box, and then the first move. That way, my first move actually has a meaning.
Yes, for sure.
Okay. Yep.
Well, let's decide what the public mission is. What are we actually shipping?
Is mine public?
Yeah, because there's no reason to keep it a secret. We all know what this ship is supposed to be doing.
Okay, right. my idea was shipping very breakable things.
Oh, okay. Got it. That explains the
pattern. I don't know what my goal should be, so I don't know how to make a goal.
No, I'm just saying, what would a ship ship? Like,
it could be fragile things.
Okay, so it's a bunch of...
Pottery.
Yeah,
okay,
pottery.
Great, okay. So everybody knows that.
Yeah.
That's the public...
I ship pottery.
...goal of the thing. You know...
Actually, I have actual shapes. I could just use shapes. There you go. That's my starter.
Cool.
So I'm going to then build a padded room here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Awesome. Okay. I'm trying to distribute out roles for us who are not the...
Oh, yeah, with the card.
Right.
With the playing cards.
So there's three of the rest of us. There's the smuggler and the inspector. So let's stick to that.
Ace is smuggler.
So that somebody is just is no role.
Ace is smuggler. Oh, yeah. Ace is smuggler. Queen is... the investigator, and then anything else is not that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I will close my eyes.
Okay.
So placed, Joanna's placed a meeple on the opposite corner as of the padded room that I had built.
Right.
Wait, Steven, it's your turn.
Do I have to put it in a room?
You can put it in a room.
No. You can. I'm just giving because they can't see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is an audio format.
No, I mean, like, do I have to place in a room?
No.
No, you do not have to put it in.
Okay.
I guess is what we decided. I guess... I will put my meeple in the padded room.
Okay.
Okay. And so we're color coded, so I need I'll be red, I guess.
Okay.
So I'm also going to place a meeple, a batch of vases.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just gonna imagine you laid this down, so I'm gonna kind of do the stacking thing.
Oh. Whoa. Okay.
So the pottery is stacked.
Right.
It is now.
And there's a card of this type of object that says how many you can stack it high.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it would be, let's say it's greater than two.
Yeah.
Say it's three.
Sure.
Okay. I am now going to. Oh gosh. I mean, what is stopping me from just building a bunch of padded rooms? I guess.
That's a good question.
Yeah. There might be a budget. There might be only so many, and maybe some other.
Wait, do my vases not make it because they're not in a padded room?
I would say this might be a case of like when the mission is sent off, there might be like you roll a die to see like how if it's going to survive. Padded room gives it more ability to survive.
That actually would give me something to do. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to add, since I see that there's what I assume is vases not in the padded room and the padded room is now stacked, I'm going to add like this triangular piece within the room.
Okay.
That is, and I just drew a line. So Joanna's meeple is now kept safe by a little bungee cord, like safety.
Oh,
cord.
Nice.
Sure. Sure.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. It's a bungee net or something that's it holds it in place.
That's good.
So not as good as a padded room, but provides a bonus.
Yeah because
which you can place after the fact.
Yes. I like that. It's like a wall.
Yep.
Is what I'm thinking. So it's a bungee cord net around this item, wall to wall. It's acting like a wall.
Okay.
Right.
That makes sense.
Okay, so Steven's turn now as a green.
So Lydia has actions she can take before or after placement.
I'm making my action on the assumption that Joanna has put pottery and I want it to be safe.
Actually, Joanna goes next.
Oh, yeah, Joanna goes go next. You've messed me up.
Sorry.
I suppose that could be, if the idea that everything the smuggler is, like everything they place is contraband, then the choices they make are to try to get it into an undiscoverable place.
Yeah.
Or something, but I think it might. Yeah, that's an unanswered question.
Mm-hmm.
We can just proceed and see how we go.
In this corner? Okay, so Joanna's now put it in another corner of the ship. I do like having three things get added in, because then I will have to decide like what I add based on what I think is worth protecting and how much.
Yeah.
Also, I have an interest, once it's my turn, I have an interesting thought on motivations that I'll get into.
Okay.
So maybe we can stack this three high.
I know.
Maybe he doesn't want it stacked in.
Yeah, you don't know. Right. So I'll kind of talk through my thought process right now. I'm realizing that I can kind of force the freighter captain's hand by like placing it in certain locations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also kind of force other people to place things based off of that. So like theoretically, I could fill up the padded room that we currently have, which would require Lydia to put to either add another padded room or like start padding up some of the other vases that are around.
That's kind of communicating that like this is what I want, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Or it might communicate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably fine to place another one in the padded room.
Okay, so the padded room is now full
and
it's got Steven's meeple, Mark's meeple, Steven's meeple.
Okay, so this is great because this is kind of what I wanted to talk about. Would be an interesting sort of thing is that
because
I could now place one of the meeples, which is that's the correct choice, right?
Yeah.
If I'm playing as the dockhand,
mm-hmm.
But there's not really a safe place to put it. I could put it somewhere in a corner that Lydia could then bungee off, but that's not ideal.
Yeah.
So ideally, what I want is I want to wait for a padded room. But I still have a turn.
Yes.
So basically, my motivation here, so this is essentially me, say, like, this is why you wouldn't think I'm the smuggler.
Yeah.
Or doing something other than just placing the normal thing.
Yeah.
So I would say, well, I have this pallet of kale that we're shipping that would also just be, we can use some extra space. We don't need the full space of the cargo bay for the vases. Let's just make a little extra money on the side. This will sort of help out.
Oh.
And because I don't have a perfectly safe place because of the inefficiency of the turn order.
Mm.
That gives me a sort of legitimate motivation to say I'm going to place something other than the correct thing without it being immediately revealed. You know that the only reason you would do that is
Okay.
But then you guys don't really know if I'm using that as a pretext or not. For example, so I'm going to say I'm going to place this block in this other corner, and I'm going to say that like I'll wait till the next go around when there's a padded room to add to the vases, and it looks like we're doing okay on vases. and we only need a certain amount.
Yeah.
So I'm going to add this thing, which will sort of just...
And that's a sturdy thing that's not fragile, right?
Doesn't yeah, I guess. Yeah, sure. It could be. And I just have the big blocks in front of me, so that's why I'm using
it. Yeah, okay.
But could be any number of things.
Okay.
And there could be many justifications. The mission card could say bonus for X, Y, or Z or something. And that could also be conditional. It could be like, ship all these fragile things, but also ship this or that. And then this is me deciding the secondary one.
Or right. Whatever, okay.
Which I could do if I was a legitimate player, I could do because I want the team to get good points, or I could do if I'm the smuggler because that's the thing I'm smuggling.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
Okay. So then I guess with mine...
I suppose you'd also need to build, like, or choose engines and other things other than just rooms and containers, that's perhaps?
Kind of what I was wondering.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess
depends on how much you think that we need more padded rooms.
Yeah, well, I don't necessarily know what I'm working towards still, so I'm figuring that out. Yeah. I'm gonna build engines that...
Okay.
Are on the wall side where Joanna's meeples are.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They are like they're very, very smooth traveling, but they run hot.
Okay.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Smooth traveling makes sense.
The idea being like they're good for delicate things, but produce that would be on that sharing a wall would probably not do as well.
Oh, cool. Okay.
This implies perhaps there's a construction budget that the freighter captain has. So, like, you can choose what engine you want, but if you choose a smooth, powerful engine that doesn't shake, then it uses up a lot of your construction budget and you can't build as many padded rooms.
Potentially.
I was thinking more of, like, I have to choose if I'm going to favor one quality of item versus another, sure. And the placement of it matters, because if I put it on the side where the padded room and the kale was... Mm-hmm. The kale would not be doing well, but the padded room would be totally fine.
Mm. Right, because there's a radiation.
It's just hot. In order for it to it's constantly running a little bit to keep it level and even and smoothly going. Yeah. No. So that means it is very, very hot. And I'm assuming that these meeples are pottery, so they can withstand heat and they need a smooth ride.
Yes.
So that's why I chose that particular engine, and that's why I put it on this particular side of the ship.
Okay.
Is my thought.
That and then sense. Maybe it has a property of within two units or something of it is damage certain.
Yeah, because damage certain things, yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
So what all am I allowed to place?
Right now, well, I guess it is meeples and giant cubes.
Well, anything. We're inventing.
Well, yeah, I guess anything.
So you can imagine what the rules are.
Yeah, make it up as you go.
Calvin ball.
Yeah. Yes, it is Calvin ball.
yeah. But that's fine. I mean.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, just to pick it up, I'll put a yellow cube here. Sure.
So whatever that is, it's the same thing I placed.
Yep.
Between the one of Joanna's meeples and the padded room.
Right, so just kind of in the middle of the space.
Okay.
So one thing you could say is like that actually makes like how optimally could you place future padded rooms, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And let's say you can't stack these things.
Right.
Yeah, they're very tall.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about the kale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Space kale.
Space kale.
Sorry, space kale.
Well, it could be real kale. It could be on its way from Earth.
Yeah. Earth kale.
Really, they should have picked red cabbage.
It's Earth kale for now, but just space kale in a moment.
It's more hardy. There's more antioxidants.
Yeah. What were they thinking?
Silly alien
does
hipsters.
Does the game like end when the shipbuilder runs out of parts?
Yeah, that's probably. Kind of what is the either if the shipbuilder has a budget for parts, that could be the end, or it could just be a turn limit. And just.
Well, maybe they just have to place all the parts.
And once they've placed them. So that gives them some control over when it ends.
Yeah, I think that makes sense to do it that way.
No, because like you have to place one per turn, right? So it would end.
Right, but they could just keep placing interior walls and not ever place an engine.
Oh, okay, sure.
I thought that's what you meant, is that there's certain minimum requirements to be spaceworthy, perhaps.
Can't put
and once you place those. Yeah, I don't know either. but those are all options, right?
Okay, so these meeples aren't stackable anymore because they're taped up to the corner, right?
Yeah.
I'm making that up.
Sure.
Like I've lashed them down.
Yeah. So
we could say maybe they're only stackable when they're inside the padded room because that's
okay.
Oh, we've got now little coins.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna put a coin in right here, I guess. Mm-hmm. And this is a pizza tray. It's really creative.
Okay.
Cool. An artisanal ceramic pizza tray.
Yeah. It's not very fragile, and it's resistant to heat.
Okay.
It's right. Just a thing.
Okay. So putting your designer hat on now, why might a player place that?
Because they don't want to put giant cubes of kale because it's too big.
Right.
And so they want to put something in there that they could stack something in. But they don't want to commit a vase somewhere because you can't, I'm assuming you can't put a padded room in a place where something is already at. Right. So I'm putting something else in there that doesn't waste a bunch of space.
Yeah.
But isn't fragile.
Right.
That's my thinking.
All right. So I'm now trying to think of motivations, you know, for any type of player I might be.
Yeah.
Because right now there's no more space for padded rooms.
Yeah.
In the cargo container.
Well, I know which one you aren't. Oh, dear. Because I know which one I am.
And well, which one I am.
Oh! Oh.
But you know what Steven is.
Right, so it's 50-50 for you.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we can do is move things,
yes.
Right?
Yes, we can hack. I forgot about that.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take Joanna's crate that she placed last turn.
Yeah.
And I don't think she placed it optimally.
Yeah,
I think she put it in a place where we could put a padded room to hold more of the fragile vases.
Right.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to move it. I'm going to slide it all the way into the corner and actually break the other vase that's in that corner.
Yes.
Because we could, it's a little inefficient, but we now have more space to put even more of them in.
But okay. You just put it next to the engine and it's kale.
Oh, I did do that. So let's say I made a mistake then.
Yeah. I think that's great.
Okay. Yeah. That's good.
But also I'm maybe not interested in that.
Sure.
Because, you know, I'm just interested in the vases. I don't really care about the side bonus.
Well, if you're interested in the vases, you're doing a bad job. But okay.
So now we've introduced peace capture. Like,
yes, technically.
Yeah. I'm just trying to find things.
Yeah,
this may not be smart, even for what role I am, mm-hmm. or it might not be smart deception if I'm trying to fool you for something.
Yeah.
It's just something that makes more interesting things and things for you to think about.
Yeah.
But essentially my logic here, and maybe this is because we have hidden roles, we can have open communication. We can just talk about whatever. I'm saying, like, I think we should, you know, we have more space for rooms.
We do need more space for the padded rooms. That's why I placed what I did.
I'm kind of wondering, like, do I have kind of one of those things where it's like I have room parts and I can only have five in my hand at a time. And if I spend one, I draw one, but then I have to kind of decide from my pile. Because I almost want like
I think a
little
system
bit
like
of
that does make sense.
I want
like
enough
information to do it yet, but you can, like, imagine a system and then put your own impose your own limits on yourself.
Yeah, I want like a little. I want a limitation, so I'm actually going to make a little circle. It's like half the size of the padded room.
Okay.
And it's like it's like a glass case on a gimbal. So it's a lot smaller and it doesn't hold as much, but it's fully secure.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's, okay. Nice.
The trade-offs in that make a lot of sense. So it holds two, maybe?
Yeah, it like holds two and it is extremely safe because it always moves with the ship.
Got it. Okay.
It's like the storage that the display cases for ceramics in art museums where there's a lot of earthquakes.
Yeah.
So let's say this is the last turn then.
Sure.
That Lydia just started. Yep. So we all get to place one more thing.
Okay.
And see what happens.
Okay, so I'll take my little guy and I'll put the vases in the super secure stuff.
The gimbal case.
Oop. Okay.
I've laid it down because it can fit two.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's got room for one more.
I know, I'm thinking now because trying to figure out what Joanne is, what role we're playing.
We've got ostensibly roasted kale, ostensibly not roasted kale.
Right. That was what I was trying to do. Yeah.
Yeah. You wanted to make those like dried kale chip snacks.
Tasty. Okay. I think that I will also put this in the spot.
Okay. So now we have the gimbal case is full.
Right. So there's very little space left on the ship. I could probably squeeze one more meeple / vase in the spaces in between.
But not in like a secure area.
Not really in a secure area. Right. And let's say this looks like we probably got enough to complete the mission, probably.
Sure.
So I'm going to say, and you've got this, what was the chip that you placed? What was that supposed to be?
It was an artisanal pizza tray.
Yes. Okay. Not fragile, you said?
Not fragile.
Okay, no. Well then I think I'm going to see if I can place another container on top of it.
Okay.
Which, let's say it has a chance of breaking both.
Okay, sure.
Or something.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have a ship. And
it's full of stuff.
It's full of stuff.
So how do we score this?
So at this point, we run some sort of like, you know, we roll some die or something to
yep.
determine what happens, like for each of the fragile items or something.
Right. And theoretically, this is the point where the investigator is supposed to be like, oh, I know who you are and stuff now.
Yeah. Actually, maybe we don't need to do, again, that's very robustity.
Yeah.
Like maybe we just, this is fine.
Uh-huh.
And then we just say, we reveal our roles or the investigator reveals themselves.
Yeah.
And then
and
makes
then
an accusation.
And then does a jacuzzi. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was the investigator. I hope I forgot. I said them and immediately forgot.
No, you were the investigator. Yeah.
Okay, good. All right.
So one of your motivations is you actually don't care about the success of the mission.
Yeah.
Right.
Did not play to that.
That's fine.
But that's true. You're right.
You also don't care if it succeeds.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Or if it fails.
I think Mark is the smuggler.
Is it because I placed the fewest amount of vases?
Yes.
But remember, it was full both times I had the opportunity.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I still accuse you.
Okay. Well, yeah, I totally was the smuggler.
Okay.
And that's, I mean, yeah, that is why I was trying to come up with, like, a very scenario.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It was
yeah.
probably fairly obvious.
Well, sure. But...
Joanna was the honest blue-collar meeple.
Yep. I loaded that ship up with vases.
The most secure vases.
Yeah.
Okay. So this game needs work, right?
Yeah. Oh, but... yeah. So, I mean, one of the things I was thinking of, like, when I you know, moved Joanna's crate and smash yeah. that other meeple.
Yeah.
I'm not really motivated for the mission to fail.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that was really that interesting of a
sure.
I don't know how motivated I would really be to do something.
You're
like
playing in the space.
You were really wanting to go for like item on item interactions.
I guess I was just trying to get the most cubes on the board. Because that is, we all sort of agreed that's what the contraband was.
Yeah.
Even though that is also too simple.
Yeah.
And so just I was trying to make space.
Well, yeah. That's so. I mean, I think that there's. What I did enjoy, each time on my turn, I was trying to figure it out. So I was trying to figure out who's doing what, right?
Yeah.
And it's kind of difficult to do that when we don't have all the rules. But what I did find interesting about this game was the spatial considerations. You're going as fast as you can. You have to put something in every turn. So you want to make sure you put stuff in that's optimal, but specifically towards your own goals.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is kind of compelling because your goals can be motivated for different reasons. There was reasons for me to place something in to convince the freighter captain to make a room for me or to use up their actions to suit my purposes.
Right.
Versus putting something in there that gives me more points versus putting something in there to prevent other people from being able to put stuff in there.
Yeah.
So like Joanna, when you put in that cube, I was like, well, we're not going to be able to put any more padded rooms in there. I don't want to just put a vase that's going to break. So I guess I'll just put in this third random item that doesn't do anything. And so, like, you know, I was thinking about the motivations that could work. And I think there's some potential in this game. It's just, you know.
Yeah, yeah, we had to invent our motivations. And then, yeah. Of course, there's not really enough to make them hard to discover.
Yeah,
yeah, we need right? motivations, constraints.
Yes.
I think so. The thing that I thought was kind of interesting
yeah.
is I liked having to change the space in response to what was added.
Yeah.
I think the thing is that like you all were kind of trying to motivate me to preemptively add things, and I actually felt that it was more interesting for me to triage what you were adding in.
Oh, sure.
So the idea kind of like when you have all your friends bringing things into a U-Haul, if you have someone add something that wouldn't be ideally placed, how are you going to mitigate it? So, yeah. For example, like if I have a dining room table that scratches easily, that got added in, and I know that there nearby is something that scratches stuff,
mm-hmm.
my response is, okay, I guess I'll just throw a blanket over it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, or...
The fact that neither the loaders nor you as the freighter captain... were we both sides wanted to be reactive.
Yes.
That tension, I think, is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, so like, there was a kind of a trying to be proactive in some ways and trying to be reactive in another. So yeah. Like, if Kale got in there, I was like, okay, probably. So then ostensibly, what would be an interesting move is have something that prioritizes fragile objects, but could be dangerous to live objects.
Yeah.
So then the question is, do I go with this? Yes, no. And if I go with it, where do I put it? Which is why I've thought of like put the smooth running engine that runs really hot away from the Kale nearby the fragile stuff.
Yeah.
Alternatively, it could be like an engine that runs very, very cool, but is very shaky would be like the foil to that. So then I would put it on. I would have to decide, okay, in a ship that prioritizes fragile things, but has, where do I put that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because some of your decisions could have ended up with leaving me room to proactively make spaces that prioritize the stuff in certain ways. But it was interesting to have to reactively apply and pick the lesser of all evils.
Sure.
In some ways.
Yeah.
I think where I have trouble with this right now is that we are with the properties of the items and the padded room, mm-hmm. and like and all that stuff. That's very RPG, right? This has a property that helps with this, and it's all on, sure. It's all written down, and that takes away a little bit from the physicality. That is also what we wanted to do. No, it's harder to do with the props we have.
Yeah, that's. I think stuff. That's our main.
So I think we made up for that by inventing RPG props.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
But I wonder if there's a version of this which has fewer of that and is much more defined based on the physical qualities of the objects.
Sure.
That's more than we could have prototyped, I think. Mm-hmm.
I think it is right to have different objects and have the color and the player that they belong to be the thing that determines whether or not they're contraband. So having it be like everybody has the pieces that are their color and you place them there and they are ostensibly like this is a produce palette. Everyone, like you have a red one, you have a green one, you have a blue one. And then at the end we find out this isn't actually produce.
Yeah.
If it is always obscured and you just say like, oh, if it's all boxes and you say, oh, this is peaches. Well, we don't actually have peaches in front of us. We have a lie. Mm-hmm. Whereas like if we have peaches, a peach little token or shape and we put it on the board that has its own shape and size. And also because it's peaches, it implies a certain quality. If it's a vase and it actually looks like a vase and you put it on the board that has a size and a shape and implies a quality. Whereas, I don't know. So I think like the distinct shapes and textures and sizes of each object has to be the same or has to be there. And then it's only at the end where it's like, oh, this vase actually is cocaine.
Right. So like yeah. I placed a vase on one of my turns in the padded room because I was the smuggler. Everything I put on there is contraband.
Yeah.
So then that would motivate the other players to prevent me from making good placements.
Yes. And I think what I'm saying, I guess, is some of the physicality is lost by virtue of us using a prototype.
Yeah.
Because we aren't seeing vases. We are seeing a shape and saying it's a vase. But because we know some of us are smugglers, that like us claiming that it is a vase is already like suspect.
Sure.
As opposed to everybody filling the ship with vases. And then it's like, oh, they're all vases. But which one is the fake vase? I don't know. There's a little bit of that that's lost.
Which one's got stuff inside, I guess.
I'm not the one who said it.
Yeah.
Lots of things to think about with respect to
I think the thing is that there's could go in two different distinct directions.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we don't need to figure that out.
We don't.
Yeah, I think this
is the end of the episode.
Uh-huh.
Can we sum up with not like the rules, but questions or things that need to be decided in order for this to take a shape of a game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We need to determine types of properties that items can have, types of things that things that you can add to the ship.
Yeah, we need a little universe of things that the freighter captain can do.
Yeah, freighter captain.
We need can do, like
specifically also inventory. As
yeah,
well.
So a list of objects that could be shipped that have qualities and what that means. A set list of rooms and pairing complementing qualities of for the ship and how that gets built.
Yeah.
There's also the question of what roles exist and what are the prime motivations and end goals for each person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what makes this different from like Werewolf is that the smuggler is not trying to sabotage the mission.
Yeah.
They have a different mission.
Yeah.
So that makes it, so all of the sort of like standard and even players approaching a game like this and be like, oh, I've played games like this.
Mm-hmm.
So that requires a little bit more explanation.
It is, I think, kind of interesting that at the very least, everyone is apathetic towards the ship, the mission, the main mission succeeding.
Well, ostensibly, there are two people at the table who want it to succeed.
It's
at least two. The smuggler may want that also, but we don't have any ways to actually mechanically motivate them for that.
Yeah.
The smuggler wants the smuggler wants the ship to take off safely because they have stuff on board.
Right. And if the failure state means that it'll be inspected because the delivery, it was, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so we need motivations, goals, and fail states.
Yeah.
For that
it
half.
Should be the inspector should be the only character who doesn't really care if the mission is successful.
Yeah,
ideally.
Yeah.
Right? Which would be an interesting twist on this kind of game.
Yeah, that is. That right? is kind of neat. Yeah, a lot of ways to take this. A lot of ways to take this.
Yeah.
For sure.
But we were definitely not, because we didn't have a really solid idea of what the win condition was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was hard for us. We had to imagine that we were doing things that would lead to that.
Yeah.
Which is, we do that a lot with these prototypes. Mm-hmm. And we find it. We just didn't find it this time.
Yeah. You know, sometimes that's how games work.
Yeah. All right, Joanna, final thoughts on the game. Is it a start? Is it nothing? What is it?
I suppose you could make it so that the inspector and the smuggler both have a way of knowing where on the ship contraband goods would be most valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so when the inspector sees somebody put something there, it's like, is it just a random thing? Or does this person
the other
players know?
Yeah.
I like that.
That's good. That's definitely.
But you kind of have to toss out the shipbuilding for that to work.
I think that that would definitely be a good thing to consider when building out the pieces that the ship owner can add.
Yeah. For sure.
Is essentially like things that could be a flag for this is valuable cargo or this is valuable contraband.
Yeah. I mean, this could be where like the main mission could be ship three things, and that's the minimum requirement. And then everyone else just fills the ship with other things that like slot together nicely. And it could be that only the smuggler and the inspector know which of that category of item is contraband. So other players will place those things because they fit and they work nice. And the inspector's like, well, that's contraband. But like they might not know that's what they're doing because, you know. Right? Whereas the smuggler is trying to maximize the amount of those things that end up on there.
But needs plausible deniability.
So like what they want to do is they want to engineer the freighter captain to build it in a way that other players place the contraband for them. That would be the master stroke, the master play.
The game's also getting simpler when you do this.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, because it's, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
Someone make that.
Yeah, but that's the learning we do from this kind of exercise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very cool.
That was fun. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for letting me sleep in the office for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime.
Now get out. That's our show. We post show notes and such on our website, nicegames.club. Go there to find the rules of the game, so much as it is. And we totally gave a name to, which is...
Oh.
Space Smugglers, Astral Contraband, some other third thing. I came up with stuff.
It's going to be something other than that, and you'll see it in the title of your podcast app.
Yep.
So look, you already know it. We don't know it, but you already
know it. I'm holding it for a friend.
That's good.
I mean, we've done worse. Nice Games Club is on Patreon. Support the show and get stuff, including ad-free episodes delivered to you 1 week early. Sign up at patreon.com/nicegamesclub. Discuss this episode or others or whatever with your fellow listeners on Discord. Stop by nicegames.club/discord and say hello. So, until we start again, remember to
play nice
and make nice.
Ooh, shuffling cards. Great air.
Wow. You got to do it more ASMR style.
That is not, but that's... okay.
I'm not an ASMR person, I guess. Yep. There Thank you.
Thanks, I am relaxed.
That was, for listener at home, that isn't what it sounded like. That was a deck of cards being shuffled.
Can I redeem myself with one more shuffle?
Yes, you can. Well done.
That's good.
Ooh, clean.
All right.
Here we go.